let's pray and sing. Thank you, Lord, for this new day and for life and health and strength for Norman and Monica and myself for this time that we've set aside to commit to your presence. And I pray that you would bless. Pray that you would bless the reading of your word, the lifting up of your praises, the tithes and the offerings, the fellowship, Lord, the preaching and teaching. And Lord, most of all, for your will to be done. Please be with Lynn this evening as she tries to get sorted out. I pray that nobody was hurt or and the worst would be a bad shake. Pat and Steve, I know they could be here, would be here if they could be, Lord. For Charlotte, for Colin, for Will, and Lord, for herself, for her brothers and sisters, wherever they might be in the world, wherever they've turned up to listen to the preaching of the full counsel of your word, Lord, please bless. Now, Lord, we just thank you for your patience and long suffering. I just leave these things at your feet and pray that you do one of our own. Amen. Now, for Black Book, we've heard of black tie events. Tonight, this is a black book event. And just remember, in case anybody says black books matter, it's important. Number six, we haven't sung this for a good while. There is a green hill far away, and we black books.
Sinners lost and poor, a faithful friend.
head off and back to the bed.
Let's see the original sort of book of
Isaiah.
Isaiah, chapter 26. In that day shall a song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city, salvation, will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open ye the gate, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. For he bringeth down them that dwell on high. The lofty city he layeth in low. He layeth low even to the ground. He bringeth it even to the dust. The foot shall tread it down, even the feet of the poor, and the steps of the needy. The way of the just is of brightness, though most upright doth weigh the path of the just. Yea, in the way of thy judgments, O Lord, I will wait for thee. The desire of our soul is to thy name and to the remembrance of thee. With my soul have I desired thee in the night. Yea, with my spirit within me will I seek the earth. For when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. Let favour be showed to the wicked, yet will he not learn righteousness in the land of the uprightness. Will he deem unjustly, and will not behold the majesty of the Lord. Lord, when thy hand is lifted up, they will not see, but they shall see, and be ashamed for their envy at the people, yea, the fire of thine enemies shall devour them. Lord, thou wilt ordain peace for us, for thou also hast wrought all our works in us. O Lord our God, other Lord beside thee, have had dominion over us, but by thee only will we make mention of thy name. They are dead, they shall not live, they are deceased, they shall not rise. Therefore hast thou visited, destroyed them, and made all their memory to perish. Thou hast increased the nation, O Lord, thou hast increased the nation. Thou art glorified, thou hast removed it far unto all the ends of the earth. Lord, in trouble have they visited thee. They poured out a prayer when thy chastening was upon them. Like as a womb of child that draweth near, time of her delivery is in pain and cries out in her pangs, so have we been in thy sight, O Lord. We have been with child, we have been in pain, we have as it were brought forth wind, we have not brought any deliverance into the earth, neither have the inhabitants of the world fallen. The dead men shall live together, with my dead body they shall they arise. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in the dust, for thy dew is as the dew of the herd, and the earth shall cast out the dead. Come, my people, enter unto the enter thou unto thy chambers, and shut the door before thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment, until the indignation be overpassed. For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth, for their iniquity of the earth also shall disclose her blood, and shall no more cover her shame. Amen.
Good verses that just want to remind you, make sure you get one of those wee prayer lists. There's only one or two things extra on it from the last day. There's a neighbour of Pat and Steve, a wee woman by the name of Mita Spratt, is in palliative care for terminal cancer. So please do pray for Mika Spratt. Don't forget Norman's cousin, Leslie Morrison, and Norman's legal stuff. Pray for Ling. He maybe didn't have her anymore. Her car hit something that fell off a lorry and didn't have time to change. They got home, obviously, safe from Dublin. It's that journey to halfway down Ireland was safe enough, but driving from our house to wherever in the town that she lives is a dangerous one. It just shows you. Frank, I think, he got over, and he made his doctor's appointment, and he's away back. Unfortunately, he met with a bit of calamity as well, and his plane was cancelled or postponed until 7:30, and he ended up getting his tea courtesy of Ryanair or somebody. So, hope you get Frank. Please also continue to pray for Owen and Louise Doherty. Louise Doherty got a bad cancer diagnosis there about 2 weeks ago. So please do pray for her. I think that's just about that. As far as thanks go, I'm thankful Monica's on the road to recovery for good outreaches. Looking forward to visiting with my dad. Please pray for us as we go and see my Mr. John Bradfield. We would have loved to have been up here being foreman, but never really doing all the work. There you go. Let's have a wee word of prayer, and then we'll sing another song. Heavenly Father, just want to thank you, Lord, for loving us and watching in person, for giving us your Son as Savior, for giving us the indwelling of the Holy Spirit when we had the good sense to choose him as our Savior. And Lord, for being there for us at any moment of the day or night that we need you, Lord. We know that you're there. And I pray you, Lord, for the folks that were mentioned. I pray for the Ritchies and the Hamiltons, and the death of a mother and a wife and a grandmother. I pray you too, Lord, for Owen and Louise Doherty. You know their needs, Lord. For me to strap and her needs too, Lord. I pray you see it. If not, Father, that you would take this time to speak. I pray you for Norman's cousin, for our private prayer requests. I just pray you, Lord, that you would take and build him up. Speak to his heart, Lord, and speak to him about eternity too, Father. So much going on in the world, Lord. I pray that you would put your good hand upon Stan's family, upon Mark and Samuel. I think they're both sick with some flu or other. I know there's a few people still suffering from it, Lord. Please, I pray you help them. I pray you too, Lord, people's thoughts would be focused not on themselves, Father, but help them to remember with food and raiment to be content, and a roof over our heads to boot, and some heating. I think a lot of people expect far too much, and I pray you, Father, please, that we would be properly thankful for the things that we have, and maybe we would realize that toys and gadgets and frivolous things are not important, but health and life and strength in the company of believers is. Thank you for everything we've got done at the church. Please bless it. And Lord, please bless our time here. We just love you and praise you. And one last thing, Lord, we have mentioned our private prayer request, but Lord, I pray for the leaders of our country. I pray for the citizens of the country that are elected, the leaders of the country. And I pray, Father, that you would greatly constrain them and convict them and work in their lives, Lord, and humble them until they say and make the right decisions, Lord, and make them stop. Leave these things at your feet. Pray for the folks in Ukraine and in Russia. I know, Lord, a lot of it is just again, it's a big money-making scheme. And I pray you, please, Lord, that souls will be saved. Be with folks in America, Lord. I pray that you would hinder all those everywhere that are setting mystery, and bless those, Lord, that are listening to you. We love you and praise you. Thank you for everything, Father. And I ask all this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Right. Black books again. And number 27. 27 in the wee books. Greater my God today. Thank you. ultimate song of our Black Book event. Well, the same, how long has it been? Number 15. Whose was this pick?
I think Stephen.
How long has it been? Don't forget Stephen. Send our regards, by the way. Subject this evening called judgment. Mm-hmm. We've mentioned it before, but always, every time I read through this portion of God's Word, it's almost like someone taking an iron poker and raking over the coals just to give them a wee bit of light and get a bit more heat out of them. But it's always a very interesting subject, judgment. Matthew chapter 7. Amen. Don't forget to pray for the folks on the road. We do haven't seen that much of them since the weather got that bit worse, but please do pray for all the folks, especially Stephen and Anne-Marie. They've been a great help to the church in the year or so that I wasn't well, so we appreciate that. Judge not that you be not judged. For what judgment you judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, Let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs. Neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet, and turn again and rend you. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom, if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? If Ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children. How much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. Good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, and neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by the fruits ye shall know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Then will I confess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, that the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. Amen. Quick prayer, and then we'll dive right in. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for the many people that have given their lives so we can hold it so casually in our hands. And I pray that you would bless this time. Put your good hand upon myself and Monica and Norman and whoever else is listening to this wee bit of gospel preaching. I pray for wisdom and understanding for all of us. And of course, for the words to say to me. Just thank you for loving us, Lord. Thank you for giving us victory after victory. And I pray for many more until you come back for us. We love you and praise you, and we ask all this in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. What is the first thing you normally hear if you start checking somebody on their behavior? Don't judge me. What did you say?
I
thought you were giving off in the office. Bible says you shouldn't judge. And the Bible actually does say that. Judge not, that ye be not judged. But I don't think it means quite what people would like for it to mean. A wee comment that I have at the very end of the message, I'm just going to say it now, is most times the people that are saying don't judge me are the very people that need a more critical eye cast over their words or their deeds or the places that they be, because they actually do need to be judged. So it's not about making smart decisions. This is actually about judging righteous judgment, doing the right thing. And how do you know what the right thing is? I started reading this whole chapter and thinking about everything, every topic that's covered here in the light of judgment. First of all, it says, whenever you go to judge people, be prepared to be judged yourself. In other words, a bit like the first example, there's no point in you pointing at a brother or sister in Christ or indeed somebody else and saying, you shouldn't be using the Lord's name in vain whenever you're doing drugs or you're living in sin or you've just killed somebody or whatever else it is. You need to be in a position of authority and power and strength and safety before you can not put people down, but point out a weak spot in their lives so that you can help them up. It's not about making people small so that you can feel big. It's about pointing out great troubles or troubled areas in people's lives so that you can help them. The Word of God says many times when it comes to judgment, when it comes to being a Christian, it says we are to help other people. We are to bless them that curse you. We are to approach people in meekness. Not trying to conquer them, but to point them to the foot of the cross. I can't stand here and say as I preach this message that I'm better than you, because I know I'm not. I know, as Paul said, I'm the chiefest of sinners. We have all said and done bad things, and there's not one of us could stand on our own merits and know that we were getting to heaven because of what we had done. The only reason we're going to heaven is because of what Jesus has done. The Lord says that, first of all, I gave you a brain, and I gave you conscience, and I gave you a free will, and I have given you a book that will work with your conscience and your free will to help you make the right decisions. So let's have a look at all of these things. First of all, we're not supposed to be hypocrites, we're supposed to be helpful. So judge righteous judgment. Be prepared for the same words that you use to point other people in the right direction. Be prepared for them to point you in the right direction as well. The Word of God applies to all men. So let's just see all the men and all the situations that it applies to. In verse number 6, it says, "Give not that which is holy unto dogs." What does that mean? That's literally talking about lost people, and not just lost people, but people that oppose the gospel. And it says you shouldn't be sitting down and fellowshipping with people that are opposed to the gospel. You shouldn't be sitting down and calling them your brother and telling them your heart's desire. Oh, I wish I could just go out and preach the gospel to everybody. I remember sitting in the back corner of the church in a prayer meeting one Friday night, I think it was. And I said to the pastor at the time, I would love to be able to preach the gospel in my old Presbyterian church. I would love that. That was a prayer of mine. Sadly, it was the passing of my mother that enabled me to preach the gospel in my old Presbyterian church. You need to be careful what you ask for and where it is you go and do that. But be careful who you call your friend. Be careful who you call your brother. That means you have to judge. You know what makes a person a brother or a sister in Christ. The Bible says they'll be saved. They will have repented of their sins and trusted in their Savior. And if we go right towards the end of this, well, actually the middle, it says, but how do you know they're saved? Well, you'll know by the things that they do. The Bible says you'll know a tree by the fruit it produces. If it's a good tree, it'll produce good fruit. If it's a rotten tree, it'll produce like poisonous fruit. So you'll know by the things that they say and the things that they do. And you're supposed to look at the Bible and say, well, if a man keeps taking the Lord's name in vain, he's probably not a Christian. He's probably, as the Bible refers to here, as a dog or a hog. A dog or a hog. He's one or the other. And let's be honest, in real life, nobody in their right mind would pull on a nice pair of shoes and a nice pair of trousers and a shirt and a tie and go and sit in the pig pen and eat swill with the pigs, would they? Of course they wouldn't. Of course they wouldn't. You wouldn't even sit on the floor and eat out of the same bowl as the dog. The Bible says if you did that, I don't know that. Have you ever heard of whenever I was little, I had an Auntie Meg. I had four or five maiden aunts that lived on a farm together. Great aunts. maiden, great aunts that lived in the farm together, and one of them looked after the hogs, the pigs, and I went out with her to feed the pigs, and says, "You be careful there, young fellow, because there was a wee girl fell into the pigs and they never found her, because the pigs had actually eaten her." And I've heard of that. Pigs will eat anything. And this is exactly what it means. You are to choose who it is you keep company with. If you keep company with wicked people after you show them all the desires of your heart, they will take and use that against you. They will destroy you. You will have no fellowship. The Bible says again, and whenever it comes to you speaking to people, it also says, whenever it comes to you personally, be careful what it is that you ask for, but ask for it. And if you ask, it will be given you. Of course, if you ask in the name of Jesus, if you can see Jesus praying for a thing, don't be afraid to ask for it. Don't be afraid to gain into it. What does it say? Ask and it shall be given. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened. That speaks of purpose. You have decided what it is that you want, hopefully, in a Christian fashion, and you're going for it. Excuse me. It also says when it comes to looking after your family, the Lord was comparing the scribes and the Pharisees to God Almighty, one of the few comparisons, and he says that whenever your kids are looking for something good, like a bit of bread or a bit of fish or an egg, you don't try and poison them, do you? You love them, they're yours, you decide what's good for them, and you give it to them. And that's exactly the same as what God does. We judge what is good for those that depend upon us, and we should deliver it. Verse number 13 and 14, straight and narrow gate, is probably the single piece of judgment, the greatest piece of judgment that will influence your life, and that is whether you're going to go to heaven or whether you're going to go to hell. And the Word of God, it says, the gospel is the good news of God, is there to give us every single bit of information that we need and the efforts to make up our mind as to whether we would like to go to heaven or like to go to hell. Now, a lot of people say, "I would like to go to heaven," but there is not one single iota of evidence that they are godly inclined at all. They never darken a church doorstep. They never lift a hymn book. They never say a prayer. They never put a penny in the plate. They never greet or help the brethren. Let's be honest, if a person like that can't bear to set foot in a church, like one of the old movies of years gone by, this young fella set foot in the church and started squealing. As I would joke, if they set foot in a church, they would start to smoke like a vampire stepping out into the daylight. How do you think they would like it in heaven, where it's like church all day, every day? I think they would think they'd died and gone to hell instead of heaven. We're supposed to choose. We're supposed to decide. Hold on, we say. So, we're not just alive for 70 years here, we're alive for the end of ages of eternity. And there's two places that we can be alive to the end of ages of eternity. One is heaven and the streets of gold with a new and a glorified body. And the other one is hell, where we would literally be in torment for the rest of eternity. The Bible says, where the flame dieth not and the fire, and the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched forever. So we're supposed to choose. And one of the great lies that has been told this world is that there's no heaven, there's no hell, there's no God, there's no devil. You can do whatever you want. You live and die as an animal. And there's no afterlife. But there is. And many times people came back from the dead to tell people that there wasn't. Lazarus came back from the dead. And many people were converted after hearing what he had to say. Moses and Elijah came back from the dead. Samuel was raised up from the dead. Goodness. Sadly, it didn't make that much effect on many of the people. We're supposed to choose. We're supposed to look at the Bible. Hold on. The prophecy is true. The changes in people's lives are true. The Word of God has a convicting effect, so that also is true. You know what? I'm going to get saved. I'm going to judge righteous judgment. I'm going to make a decision to ask God to forgive me my sins and trust in His Son as Savior. That is the straight and the narrow gate. Now, the straight that's narrow because there's a whole bunch of stuff that's not acceptable unto God. There's only one way in, and that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. As we look on verses 15, 16, and 17, it talks about false prophets. We're even supposed to check the people that we listen to for preaching. And if they come bringing a different message, we're supposed to withdraw ourselves. So if someone comes bringing a works salvation, we're supposed to get rid of them. We don't preach a works salvation, but we do preach a works life. It's mentioned in the book of James. Faith without works is dead. That's the fruits that are spoken of here. We are supposed to judge what it is that we hear, what it is that we listen to, what it is that affects us. We are supposed to compare it against something that's good and proper and right, which is the Word of God, and we are to decide, well, if it agrees with the Bible, I'm going to keep on with it. If it disagrees with the Bible, I'm going to reject it. There's another instance here where it talks about the judgment of God in verses number 21, 22, and 23. And this is where God looks at people. It says, these people that stand in front of God for judgment, and said, Lord, Lord, we did many wonderful works in your name. We cast out demons. We gave to the poor. We did all of those things, but God looks at them and says they're already in the great white throne of judgment, which means they're for hell and the lake of fire. Yeah, you did those works, but you didn't do those works for me. You did those works for you to try and leverage me, to try and get me to owe you salvation, to purchase your own salvation. That is not the way it works, and that is not the way my children behave. And God will judge righteous judgment, and He will say, I don't know you. I never saved you. You never came to me in prayer. You never did anything that I asked you to do. I don't know you. So depart from me. God judges. And at the very, very end, where it talks about the story of the wise man and the foolish man, it talks about what a wise man would do, building his house upon the rock. And that is quite literally comparing us as the wise man or the foolish man, choosing to obey or choosing to disobey the teachings of God. We see what it is that the teachings of God are, and some people say, well, I'm not going to get saved. Well, why would you turn your back on heaven? Why would you put your family through that uncertainty, that never seeing you again, the assurance of damnation? Why would you put your family through that? Why would you put them through that knowledge deep down in their hearts that they know that they will never, ever see you again? I don't know why people would do that. But some people do. The Bible says, whoever listens to God, whoever that listens to what God says and acts accordingly, gets saved, does what God asks them to do, will be like a man that builds his house on the rock, and when the storms of life hit that, yes, the storms of life will hit that house. They hit the house of the wise man, they hit the house of the foolish man, and you might have to close the windows, and you might have to put an old tile across the door to stop a wee bit of the water getting in, but the house still stands. And whenever the storms pass, you wring the tiles out and you open the windows, and the house is still there. But the foolish man, the man that chooses not to listen to God, his house comes tumbling down because the running water eats out the foundations and the walls come tumbling down. And you know what? It's a complete and utter destruction, what you might call a train wreck. And God says, if I had wanted people to go to hell, if I had wanted people's lives to be in ruins, I would not have preserved the Word of God for you, but I have. And those are the words of God, every single word in that, up from the beginning of chapter 7 up until right now, are all the words of Jesus Christ, and they're good. And the very last two verses They show us the people judging. All the instances where God judges, where people should judge, with our family, with our preachers, and even personally in our own lives with the things that we do, the very last thing that's mentioned here is judgment. The people say, "But you know what? The words are right, but he doesn't speak like the Pharisees. He speaks like someone that has authority, that has power." The Pharisees, they judge, are useless, empty. This Jesus, he comes bringing us, as Peter said, the words of eternal life. These are the words that we need to hear. The whole way through the Bible, definitely through this chapter, Jesus says, judge. You have a brain, you have a mind, you have a conscience, and you have the very word of God. Use them all together and make the right decision. And that means saying, when they come up and say, what is it? Is it transsexual? Is that what? Transgender, there you go. That is wrong. That is stupid and it is wrong. The Bible says you shouldn't have anything to do with it. Turn away from it, turn to God, and he will help you. Homosexuality is wrong. Turn to God and he will help you. It's expressly forbidden, both of them in the Bible. Murder is wrong because it deprives someone of a loved one for your own profit, and that's wrong. There are so many, literally every single thing that's wrong in the world is condemned in the Bible. And if you stuck to that, we would all be doing fine. You see, people's judgment is corrupted. And that normally happens when people are up to mischief. Whenever people are lying and cheating and stealing, the word of God has power, as Paul said in Romans chapter 1, to reach through all the nonsense and drivel and laughter and mocking in their lives and hit them in the heart and let them know from God's lips to their ears, you're a sinner and you're in need of being saved. And I'm here to do that if you'll let me. And people don't like that. They don't like being told they're wrong. But the conviction of, wait, I think it's in the book of Joel. The word of God says that Jesus, that God Almighty, would pour out his spirit on all flesh. And the Holy Spirit convicts the lost of their lost estate. And sometimes the saved too of their bad behavior, but it seals and provides all of God's gifts to the saved. Do you want that? We are supposed to make a decision. We are supposed to judge. And before people would start to say that the world would be so much better without judgment. Over in America, there's a few cities, I think it might be Chicago and Illinois, where they've actually suspended imprisoning and even bail for up to second degree murder. You go in, you get your name taken, and literally you're let out again. No judgment. And that has not made those areas safer or more pleasant areas to live in. All it means is that people know they can literally get away with murder and do whatever they like. And the place hasn't gotten better, it's gotten worse. It's turned into a cesspool with human scum floating about on it everywhere. And it's the same. I think there's a little verse in the Bible that says when judgment is held off, there's no respect for the law. And if people like that were slapped in irons or executed on the spot, I can guarantee you, people would not be up to so much mischief. God says we need to judge and we need to keep judging. Every aspect of our life is built on judgment. The phones that people spend so much time on and the computers they spend so much time in front of, goodness, they are nothing but judgment machines, ones and zeros. It's either right or wrong in the eyes of a computer, and it works efficiently and very speedily at executing every single command that is given to it. We sit in this church and we see our nice straight walls and floors. If you saw it before it was all plastered, you would see There was a laser beam that went right the way around the church and told us, it was completely level, told Norman and I where it was the sheets of plasterboard were to go up to. And we did that and things worked so much better. Judgment is good for us. We should welcome it. I remember many a time coming to church and the pastor preaching a message that maybe pricked my conscience or spoke about a sin that I had been indulging or something like that. And I didn't get upset and walked out. I just said quietly in my heart, Lord, thank you for speaking to me on that. I will go home and do something about it. We need judgment. And we should execute sound judgment. And in case you're wondering what's right and what's wrong, check the Bible. The Bible has the teachings and even direct quotes and examples for every decision in life that we need to make decisions on, that we need to make a judgment call on. So stick with it. And don't forget to judge. Always be thinking. Always be making the right decision. Stopping there. Thank you for your good time. God bless you. Let's take our hymn books and we will sing our closing hymn. Hymn number 29 in the wee book. Precious Lord, take my hand. And then we will be done for the evening. Let's stand as we sing. Save souls, Lord. Please save souls on the road. Please, Lord, bless those that have heard the preaching of the cross. Give them something to think about, Lord. Just thank you, Lord. And we know all that's going on in our lives. Please supply us our daily spiritual, physical, and wherewithal, Lord, bread. And we leave these things at your feet. And we pray that you would grant them according to your will. Thank you, Father. Amen. Amen.